Welcome to Science TLDR, the podcast where we really try to boil down significant scientific research for scientists, by scientists, you could say.
That's the goal.
Today, we're diving deep into a paper from Nature Methods. It's titled Deep Learning-Based Single and Multi-Domain Protein Structure Prediction with DI Tasser.
Right. And this field, protein structure prediction, has seen some, well, frankly, explosive progress recently, largely thanks to deep learning.
Absolutely. We've seen models predicting local features, and then, of course, the big end-to-end systems like AlphaFold changing the game.
Definitely. But, you know, there's still this persistent challenge, figuring out the structures of multi-domain proteins accurately and efficiently.
Explain that a bit more, multi-domain protein.
Sure. So most proteins, especially in eukaryotes like us, aren't just one single functional blob. They're made of multiple parts, these domains, that often have distinct jobs but need to work together.
Like different tools on a Swiss Army knife, maybe?
Kinda, yeah. And predicting how those tools fold individually is one thing, but predicting how the whole knife is assembled, how the tools interact spatially, that's harder. They make up the majority of proteins in many organisms and are a key for higher level functions.
Exactly. And that's where this paper and DI Tasser comes in. They're proposing this hybrid approach, mixing deep learning with more traditional threading and simulation methods.
Right. It's an attempt to tackle the limitations, especially for these tricky multi-domain cases, but also aiming for top accuracy on single domains too.
Okay, so let's get into the nuts and bolts. Can you walk us through the DI Tasser pipeline? What are the main stages?
Yeah, it's basically a six-step process. First, they generate what are called deep and multiple sequence alignments, or MSAs, using a tool called Deep MSA2. This involves finding lots of related protein sequences.
And that gives you evolutionary information, right? Hints about important regions.
Precisely. Then step two is identifying threading templates using LOMITS 3, which actually also uses Deep MSA2 output. Threading is like finding known protein structures that parts of your target sequence might fold like.
So using existing structures as starting points or guides. Okay, what's next?
Third is predicting inter-residue constraints. Think contacts, distances, hydrogen bonds between the amino acids. This is where deep learning models, depotential and attention potential, come in. They predict these geometric restraints.
Based on patterns learned from known structures, I assume?
Exactly. Step four is specifically for multi-domain proteins, domain boundary partition, and assembly. It figures out where one domain ends and the next begins, using tools like ThreadM and FewPred.
Ah, so identifying the separate tools on the knife.
Right, and then assembling them. Step five is the iterative structure assembly simulation, using something called REMC Replica Exchange Monte Carlo. It's a physics-based simulation method.
Okay, REMC. That sounds computationally intensive. It explores different conformations.
It does. It uses the predicted constraints and template information to guide the folding simulation towards the most likely lowest energy structure. It helps avoid getting stuck in wrong folds.
And the last step.
Finally, atomic level structure refinement to polish the model, and then estimating how good the model actually is using FGMD and something called the ETM score.
So it's this interplay then between the deep learning predictions, the constraints, and the physics-based simulation exploring the possibilities.
That's the core idea. The deep learning provides really accurate guideposts to where things should be, and the simulation uses those, plus physical principles, to find the best overall structure, often starting from those initial template ideas.
You mentioned Deep MSA2 is used early on. The paper seems to stress its importance.
Oh, definitely. Deep MSA2 is key because it generates really high-quality MSAs. It does this by searching massive metagenomic databases, sequence data from, like, environmental samples.
So way beyond just sequences from cultured organisms.
Exactly. Yeah. It finds more distant evolutionary relatives, giving richer information. The authors actually show that if you take Deep MSA2 out, the performance of DI Tasser drops significantly. It's foundational.
Okay, let's focus back on that multi-domain challenge. What's novel about how DI Tasser handles them?
The novelty really lies in that dedicated multi-domain processing module. Many methods are great at predicting the domains themselves, but DI Tasser puts specific effort into predicting their relative arrangement.
How does it do that assembly part, step four?
Well, after predicting the boundaries with ThreadM or FewPred, they use different methods depending on how hard the target is. It uses another tool called DEMO2. This takes the domain-level templates and assembles them into a full-chain template. And this assembly isn't random. It's guided by energy calculations and, crucially, those predicted distances between domains.
Right, the interdomain restraints, that makes sense. You need to know how the different parts should sit relative to each other.
Precisely. It's not just about getting the pieces right, but putting them together correctly.
They use the human INA-like protein as an example, right? What did that show?
Well, that's a great case study. It's a two-domain protein. AlphaFold 2, while getting the individual domain structures pretty well, apparently struggled with how they were oriented together. The overall score for the full protein wasn't great.
Why not?
The paper points to the interdomain distance predictions. AlphaFold 2's predictions for distances between residues in different domains had a high error. They were just off.
Okay, and DiTaSR?
DiTaSR, reportedly using a deeper MSA for the full chain, did much better. It predicted both the within domain and the between domain distances more accurately. This led to a significantly better model for the whole protein with a much lower error, specifically on those interdomain restraints. It really highlights the benefit of focusing on that aspect.
That brings us to benchmarking. The real test is how it performs against others, like in GSA-ASP. How did DiTaSR fare in GASP-15?
It did very well. In TAP-15 running as EMTBM, it ranks first among server groups in both regular modeling, mostly single domains, and, perhaps more significantly, in interdomain modeling.
Top in both. That's impressive. How much better was it, say, compared to the standard AlphaFold 2 server?
Quantitatively, the paper reports its cumulative Z-scores were substantially higher. Compared to the public AlphaFold 2 server they tested against, it was about twofold better on GDTHA, which measures domain accuracy, and a massive 16-fold better on LDDT for the interdomain modeling accuracy.
16-fold. Wow.
Yeah, quite a difference in that specific comparison on interdomain assessment. And interestingly, the server performed competitively with human expert groups in the regular category and actually outperformed all groups, including humans, in the interdomain modeling category in CASP-15.
Outperforming human groups in the interdomain challenge is quite something.
It really suggests the automated pipeline has captured something crucial for those specific targets. They also showed direct comparisons on certain benchmark sets where DiTaSR had significantly higher average TM scores than different AlphaFold versions.
Okay, beyond just structure, they applied this to predict function across the human proteome.
Yes, they used the predicted structures from DiTaSR as input for another protocol called cofactor. This predicts biological functions like gene ontology terms, enzyme commission numbers, and ligand binding sites.
Based on the predicted 3D structure.
Exactly. Cofactor matches the predicted structure and sequence features against libraries of known protein functions. They focused on high-confidence predictions, using that ETM score metric we mentioned earlier. If the ETM score was 0.5 or higher, they considered the structure reliable enough for function prediction.
What kind of functions popped up most frequently for human proteins?
Well, things you might expect. Oxidation reduction process, involvement with the cytosol, metal ion binding, also enzyme functions like lysozyme, and binding to common molecules like ATP analogs and iron sulfur clusters. Pretty fundamental stuff.
Did they find anything unexpected or specific?
They did mention some interesting chromosome-specific enrichments. For example, on chromosome 11, they found a cluster of functions related to ophthalmic or eye-related processes, which apparently aligns with the existing experimental knowledge about genes on that chromosome.
That's neat validation. They also highlighted a specific protein, right? Acetyl coenzyme A acetyltransferase.
Yes, UniProt ID Q9BWD1. It was a case where DiTaSR produced a high-quality model, high TM score, compared to the known structure. And then cofactor, using that model, accurately predicted the binding site for coenzyme A.
How accurately?
Very accurately. The predicted position of the CoA molecule was very close to the actual position of the crystal structure, low RMSD, root mean square deviation. And it correctly identified most of the amino acids that actually contact the ligand.
So good structure prediction enables good function prediction. Makes sense. You mentioned the ETM score for quality assessment. How reliable is that?
It's an estimated TM score derived from the simulation process. The paper shows it correlates pretty well with the true TM score when tested on benchmark datasets. They reported a Pearson correlation coefficient of 0.79, which is quite strong. It gives a decent idea of whether you can trust the model.
What about the practical side? Is this computationally expensive? Does it take a long time to run?
It's definitely more computationally intensive than, say, running a standard AlphaFold 2 prediction. Generating the deep MSAs and running those REMC simulations takes significant resources and time. It's a trade-off. You potentially get improved accuracy, especially for difficult or multi-domain targets, but it comes at a higher computational cost.
Right. Always a trade-off in computational biology. Okay, so if we were to wrap this up, what are the main takeaways from this DI Tasser paper?
I'd say three things stand out. First, it really pushes the needle on multi-domain protein structure prediction. The CASP15 results, especially in interdomain modeling, show it's a significant advance for these challenging targets.
Okay, number one, better multi-domain modeling.
Second, it underscores yet again the critical importance of high-quality, deep multiple sequence alignments. Using those huge metagenomic databases via DeepMSA2 seems fundamental to its success. You need that rich evolutionary context.
Right, good input data is key. And the third takeaway.
The third is the success of the hybrid strategy itself. Effectively combining deep learning's power for predicting constraints with the exploration capabilities of physics-based simulations seems really potent. It's not just one or the other, it's the synergy.
A powerful combination for tackling complex structures. Are there still challenges remaining, things DI Tasser doesn't solve yet?
Oh, absolutely. The paper briefly mentions areas like viral proteins, which often have shallow MSAs, making them harder for these methods. And predicting protein complex structures is still a major frontier. There's always more to do.
Definitely. But this work seems like a really solid step forward, particularly for understanding those complex cellular machines, the multi-domain proteins.
Agreed. It provides more tools, more accurate models, which ultimately helps us understand function, mechanism, and disease across all of biology. It fuels discovery.
A fascinating piece of work. Thanks so much for breaking it down for us.
My pleasure. Always interesting to see how the field is evolving.